Another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, it's me. It's me. It's D, the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo. And Thursday's our good day. Fridays are my favorite day, of course, that's the end of the work week. And Wednesdays are the second best day, because that's hump day. So you're almost at the end of the work week. But Thursdays are good, too.
Yeah, Thursday is my hump day.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a waitress tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, every other day is my hump day, thanks to your mom.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. When's she going to increase her prices? Really crazy. She's only charging $3, though.
I know. I keep telling her. Inflation. Inflation. She says, I keep eating. But, no, it's just not... It's not what I meant, Mom.
I keep on telling her also, inflation. Inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And she says... It's not working.
I know. She keeps saying, Mo, it doesn't get any bigger.
I know.
It's...
Fucking penis.
I know. Fucking him work.
All right. We're going to go through... We just finished watching Impact.
We did.
We're here at the Play Show Studios live at House Addy.
Yes.
We did do a post... A Night of Champions show, in case you're wondering, because we mentioned we were going to. Mm. And then we lost the audio and didn't have a chance to record another one, so it's been a little while. But, of course, vlogs went up and everything, so I was giving you content. But we're going to go through Impact. We're going to talk Night of Champions, Raw, preview, go through the spoilers for SmackDown, a little bit of news items. But first, the big thing, of course, Addy, get everybody up to date. There was a press conference. So what's going on with The King?
The King. The King, Jerry Lawler, is back in Memphis. And actually, I got a and we'll play into this a little bit here, because I did get an email question that was playing off of this as well. But it was Jerry Lawler back in Memphis. On Monday Night Raw, essentially what they did is that they showed footage of Jerry Lawler getting off of the WWE corporate jet, touching down in Memphis. He was walking in Memphis, as it were. Hmm. But he was back in Memphis. And he was reunited, they said, with his doctor.
Oh, he's in Memphis in the meantime.
So, yeah. So,
good
but
song, too, but not famous.
I just assumed that his doctor would have been at Raw, but no, his doctor there in Memphis, Tennessee, and then, of course, they'd mentioned on Raw, and we'll get there, but one of the things they mentioned on Raw was that next week, they would have an interview on Raw with Jerry the King Lawler.
Well, aren't they in Memphis next week?
I don't think so.
No, that's in October. It's like October 7th or something like that, or 14th. Something like that.
Something, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and then in the next month, they're definitely in Memphis, so obviously that will play into it. But so they had the interview there, and of course, so... My question to you, and Michael Cole was wearing a Long Live the King t-shirt, which is available at WWEshop.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question that I got, and it was from Joseph Smith, was the name on the email. I didn't leave his name, but it was like, well, I won't say the email, but it was Joseph Smith at something, so I assume it's Joseph Smith. Anyway, was, do you feel that they've gone past the point of Jerry Lawler, now it's exploitation?
First off, I want to know, is this Joseph Smith, do you think? Mormon? Think?
Joseph Smith Esquire?
Yeah, Mormon.
Perhaps.
Right?
I don't know if he likes men or women.
Anyways, is this exploitation? No. This is not exploitation. The fact is that the WWE Universe, and I hate that phrase, the WWE Universe does want to know what's going on with Jerry Lawler. And at one point in time, and I'm sure the proceeds from the shirt go to Jerry Lawler. He gets a portion of it. And people will want to celebrate the king and want to buy the shirt and feel better about him. And it's, I got no problem with this, personally. I mean, it's, I mean, what else are they supposed to do? You know, put up a tout from, like, Michael Cole. Jerry's okay, everybody. Thumbs up. And that's it? No,
well,
not good enough.
I'm just curious in terms, no, I'm just, in terms of the, there was the, again, and he did, as you said, he did a press conference in Memphis. I think that's outside of, I don't want to say outside of WWE, but.
No, I mean, it did have WWE, I mean, in the background and stuff like that, right?
Of course,
so,
yeah. No, I was just curious, again, that was the question I had, because some people, and I have heard it said that, okay, now they're hawking a t-shirt, they're going to have him on Raw to do an interview.
So
they're,
what? The guy lived. We didn't know he was going to.
I guess my...
good.
Well, yeah, it is good, but I guess my question for that, especially when I look at they're going to have an interview with him on Raw, is... I'm trying
you
to...
Use what you can.
No, no, I understand that. And it, I mean, we're... In
the
it,
fact
and
that
it,
they turned it into an angle, I wouldn't be surprised. And if it's done right, I wouldn't even be angry.
Are they
not like Eddie Guerrero is in health, which
mm-hmm.
is done badly.
Yes.
You know?
Are they exploiting it? Yes. They definitely are. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt
Jerry
that they're
Lawler okay with that?
Exploiting
sure.
it. Of course. I mean, a guy that's been in the business for, you know, for 30, 40 years, I mean, he knows the game. He knows the score. He knows the deal. He knows what's happening here, and that's exploitation. Of course, that's what you do is you exploit some things. But again, are they doing it? Yes. Is it wrong? I don't think so. And like you said, if they can build it on an angle, I don't know what you do.
If it's done in a tasteful way, or not even tasteful, but
oh,
a proper
come on.
Way.
I would say
yeah,
there
yeah,
really
it's
is.
Done in the right
there,
way.
There's no tasteful way
no.
to do this.
But if it's done in the right way, I mean, it's wrestling.
It is.
You know,
does Ziggler attack him?
No. Nobody attacks him. There's got to be a different way to do it. That's not the way to do it. That said, he did say in the press conference today that he's a little bit sore. Doctors have told him to take it easy for a while, that he has some short-term memory loss. But that he thinks he said wrestling isn't as dangerous as you think it is. So
yeah. Well, not the way Lawler does it.
Yeah. Kind of opening the door for to go back in the ring, which I think is stupid. I even think traveling and being on the road for Raw anymore is stupid. I think this is a signal from your body.
Uh-huh.
It's time to shut it down. Maybe do your baseball once a week.
Yeah.
Draw. Do your photography that you love to do. The drawing. You know, do some interviews, do stuff in the community, live your life and enjoy it.
Well, he's just done the McFoley book, and to be fair, Jerry Lawler is one of the few people on the WWE roster that have drawn.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But he knows how to do that.
He does know how to.
So, but I think his exact quote was
about his art. But you're right.
Oh, his art.
Drawn.
Yeah. I think the. His Jerry Lawler's exact quote was, I have had some short-term memory loss. I don't rule out a return to the ring. They tell me it might be possible. I have had some short-term memory loss.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly how it went.
Yes. If they could do something classy and tasteful like that,
mm-hmm.
I think we'll be just fine.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. We just watched Impact, right? Let's get to that.
We totally just watched Impact. You know, overall, again,
they have almost equal amount of. They have, if it's, I don't know. Let's say 90 minutes. I don't know however long it is, but whatever. If it's a 90-minute show. There's 30 minutes that I find kind of 90 minutes, including
with the commercials. You mean, yeah?
Let's say 90 minutes worth of of stuff on TV.
Right.
I know you hate that word.
I do hate that fucking word.
Content. So I won't use content.
Content.
I will absolutely not say content.
Yeah.
Because you hate the word content.
I totally do.
Yeah. So anyways, if they have 90 minutes worth of content.
Fat fuck.
What? 30 minutes of it is kind of boring. 30 minutes is okay, and 30 minutes kicks my ass awesome.
Yeah.
So I just don't know kind of, it is inconsistent even though it has the same feel. Like the segments I'm waiting through to get to the good parts. But then again, I suppose even when WWE was at its height and I was loving it the most, there was a lot of waiting for the good parts, and they're good enough to make the show enjoyable.
Yeah, the Attitude Era, again, a lot of rose-colored glasses with it. I mean, it wasn't it wasn't all good. I mean, you know, Lowdown existed. You know, Hawk climbed to the top of the Titantron.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of things that, even in the height of the Attitude, and Lowdown wasn't really in the height of the Attitude
young
era.
But a hand. Of course, now...
Well, now the hand's all grown up, though, so that I don't mind that, because at least then we've seen how the progression is, and it's nice
to see... The story wraps up.
That's
full circle.
It's a success story in wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the kid has grown up and been educated. He's wore his glasses.
You know
what he doesn't have, though, is educated feet.
No.
So.
The hand does not have educated feet.
No.
Fucking brilliant.
But the thing is...
I agree, though,
that Impact, they said, if you do the hour and a half, I mean, because you contrast Raw.
Yeah.
3 hours, what does that give you? 2 hours and 10 minutes, let's say, on average, let's say. Because it really is more than 3 hours. It's a 3 hour and 15 minute show with the overrun or whatever, right? So
I think I watched it in 15 minutes.
Yes. Well, I mean, I watched a stream on it, and I think I
that's
told
right.
you.
You sent me a text you were watching, because, of course, we get an hour delay, hour 15-minute delay now in Canada.
And that's, I find that too long. And no, we only get an hour delay. It starts at 7, not 7:15 now. It does do that.
Okay.
I noticed that. Yeah, since it went to 3 hours, they don't do that 15-minute hype show.
Yeah, because I never watch it like that.
Yeah. And the thing is, I found that it starts at 7 o'clock here, and I've just found I'm too bored to stay up and watch TV, watch that show until 10 o'clock.
You and everybody else who's watching.
Yeah. And, well, that's the thing, and I mean,
everybody's turning off.
You look at the ratings pattern now, though, they started with a 3.2.
Yeah.
You know, so people are now know that this show starts, and so this isn't a question of are people used to the 6 o'clock or the early hour, the 8 o'clock hour. People are used to that now.
Yeah.
And then it goes downhill from there. And when you look at this at 2 hours, when we talk about Impact being an hour and a half, and you talk about 30, 30, and 30, this probably has, you know, like, maybe 20 minutes of some good stuff. And then the rest is stuff I don't, you know, it's just there. And maybe 20 minutes of good, 20 minutes of bad, and the rest is just there, is what I find.
Because
I don't find that I leave 3 hours of Raw loathing the show.
No, I like I say, and same thing with the pay-per-views. You hear what I give every week. I generally give it between a 5 and a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, average,
every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas every now and then I'll sit there and I'll go, okay, you know what, that Tina was a 4.5, but sometimes they're 7.5 or an 8. And tonight's show, you know, it's like a 6.5.
Yeah.
Probably 6.5, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of all over the place. But even then, 6.5 that's 2 hours is a lot more palatable than 6.5 that's 3 hours.
Yeah, I wasn't really bored watching Impact.
No.
I shouldn't say that, actually. It was at one point.
There was a couple times, but, yeah.
Just the one point I found that I was really bored. But,
when Hulk was talking?
When James Storm and fucking Bobby Roode for 20 minutes were brawling.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I was annoyed, and even more annoyed with the end here.
Yeah.
Let's get into that first. They just fucked up James Storm and Bobby Roode for me.
It was open fight night, so in the last week, James Storm had said that he was calling out Bobby Roode on open fight night for a fight, not for a wrestling match, for a fight. Now, it turned out to be the bell rang, I think, or there was a ref there, at least.
Yeah, there was a ref there.
So, basically what happened is, of course, James Storm did what he said he would do, called out Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode come out in his suit and tie and said, well, you see, I'm a little overdressed for this, so I'm not going to be answering your challenge. And so he just walked back, and then Hogan was back there and said, oh, what are you doing there, brother? Maybe you don't know how Ultimate Fight Night works, brother.
Open Fight Night.
Or Open Fight Night. You don't know how Open Fight Night works, brother. And he says, well, I get it, but I'm not doing it. And he said, okay, well, you don't have to. But I don't have to book you in any more title matches. I don't have to book you at all. I don't have to see you this week, this month, this year.
Yeah,
I don't have to pay you.
Basically.
Yeah. And so it's your choice. You got 3 minutes. Of course, you're going to commercial. You got 3 minutes to make up your mind. It's like, and then, of course, he's like, 3 minutes? He's like, fuck, all right, fine, fuck. Or he's like, damn it, or whatever he said, right? He didn't say fuck, but he should have. And the thing was, then they come out and they fight.
And they fight.
And then, actually, after that, though, they fought.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Followed up with some fighting.
Yeah, and then, of course, they're outside of the ring for most of this, but then...
Well, they fought,
but then they also, they got around because the ref got in the way, and then they, the ref kind of got out of the way, and then they fought. Fuck. And that just seemed to me like
and
really...
And here's the thing, I want to see these
you
fights.
You said... This is going on too long.
About 2 minutes in.
And then it went on for another, like, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. There was one great spot where Storm was out of the ring with Rude, and he said to the crowd, he's like, hey, put your foot up on the rail. And this guy in the audience puts his foot up on the rail, and then the guy beside him puts his foot up, and then the guy beside that puts his foot up. These three guys have, like, their foot up on the rail, and he takes Rude's head and pounds it into the feet and the sneakers. I've never seen that before.
That was good.
Pretty goddamn funny.
That was good, and that was right after he poured the beer in the guy's mouth.
Right before.
Yeah.
Right before, right around.
Anyway, but...
Other than that, I mean, the problem is, like I say, it's not that I didn't want to see Rude and Storm. It's that I wanted you now to build me into a frenzy where it's like, I gotta see them touch. I gotta see them fight. I'm never gonna see it. God, I'm finally gonna see it in that pay-per-view. I'm gonna fucking buy.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, and tell you the truth, if you had teased it for like a minute, but it's such an out-of-control brawl, this match, that immediately everybody comes and pulls them apart.
Yes.
Like hitting each other with chairs or whatever, and that it's an actual match and
it's
that
intense.
Can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, because it's a tease. This is not a... 20 minutes is not a tease. It's a fucking gangbang.
20 minutes is a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Match, right? And that's the thing.
Well, however long this went, it seemed like forever.
Well, it did. I mean, it may have only been 50, but I mean...
And then the ending was so cheap.
Well, then the ending, he took him to the back and he put him out the door, and the next thing you got Hulk Hogan talking to the fucking, the whoever...
He's an eighth guy.
Well, but he talked to the producer guy first to say, where is he, brother?
Yeah, so all of a sudden this camera, which is following him everywhere, and which is all over the building, which I've seen follow wrestlers on Backstreet Brawls a million times, all of a sudden they do not have that technology, and it's just this hard edit to this Hulk Hogan thing. It's just odd.
Yeah.
And it's, you fucked it up. Yeah, okay, I finally saw these guys fight, and it's good, but and I didn't see a conclusion, but you know what? I saw too much of it, and then you fucked me on this ending. I know what you're trying to do, but you did it wrong.
But you didn't,
just
yeah.
did it wrong.
And the thing was, is that, again, the only thing I could think of, and I said, I wasn't even saying it was right, but was that it would lead to a stip.
Yeah.
Match, you know, some sort of false count anywhere
false
or something,
count anywhere,
right?
Or like, I think it would be the ring can't contain them, so it's a lockdown cage match.
Right, you said
because
that.
That is what lockdown, that's what their match was the last time they actually fought before this.
I understand that.
And
my,
this is the rematch, Storm's Redemption.
My only counter to that is that, after counter, is that I have this feeling that it is going to be a lethal lockdown cage with the top War Games, Aces and Eights against TNA. So I don't know if you do
that. I don't think
that
it is because I think you saved that for...
I think
it, really,
I would
the
hope
lockdown
so.
Is, what, 3 months after Bound for Glory?
It's April.
April, okay.
6 months.
But still, ideally you can blow it off there, that the whole...
I hope so, yeah.
Because right now we're going to get, hopefully, a Bound for Glory is either the first actual Aces and Eights
match,
like 8-on-8 match,
mm-hmm.
or 4-on-4 or whatever, and you're... But... And maybe you get the reveal, or maybe you don't. I think it depends. But
yeah.
this is what you build to for the blow off for the feud down the road.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair.
You don't do War Games twice in a year.
No, I agree, and I would rather do that. And maybe you don't do that. So okay, then in that case, you could do the Lethal Lockdown, like you said, bring it full circle. Back to the match, and that's again not for a title. James Storm, as the babyface, gets his comeuppance, his revenge, and the feud is over, and you can move on to what I don't know. Maybe Bobby Roode and Jeff Hardy as a feud, I guess, right? Because the title, if the title changes, then Bobby Roode is eligible for title shots again.
That's true.
So,
but also, there's another guy who can get title shots, or who could get the title here. Besides Jeff Hardy, after what we saw in the main event.
Yeah, Bully Ray is, it seems like he got the pin over Austin Aries in the main event after Austin Aries called him out on Open Fight Night, used his Twitter machine chain to beat him while the ref was down. But
Aries wants to prove that he can do anything that Hardy can do, so since Hardy beat him, he wanted to beat him.
Right,
and
of course he didn't.
Instead, when the referee's back was turned, he grabbed the chain, mm-hmm. hit him across the head, and knocked out Aries. And then went to beat him up some more after the match, and Hardy makes the save, which does not sit well for Aries. I said, this is what it is. If you got your tweener, which is definitely what Aries' character is.
Yeah, yeah.
You got your baby face and your heel.
Yeah.
And you got a three-way. The only issue is they also set up a World Tag Team Championship of the World title match.
Right, that's a three-way as well. Yes.
Because Chavo and Hernandez went to a disqualification draw against AJ and Angle when
Kaz and Daniels come in and interfere.
Yeah, so Hogan makes that a three-way.
So Hogan stacked the deck against them, brother, and made them fight both guys instead. Yeah. So, I mean, and that's fine. And we kind of saw that one come. They also set up a three-way as well with Tara, Miss Testmacher, and Chrissy Hemme.
That's true, they did.
So, I think they're going that way. But, no,
I'd like a three-way with any of those two.
That's true. That, yeah, that'd be good. one thing we would, and we're going to get this man on, he's going to come on later in the show, but the show opened with Hulk Hogan talking to Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, this is, Shaquille O'Neal has another show on Spike or something like that, and basically he was backstage, and Hogan's just like, you know what, I got this whole thing going on with Aces and Eights, and Shaq is obviously watching the show, and he and Hogan have known each other for a long, long time. And Shaq's a big wrestling fan. You can tell from, obviously, his appearance on Raw and his promos or interviews that he's done over the years when he was playing basketball. And basically, he cut a great promo about Aces and Eights and, you know, Hogan's back. And if it doesn't lead to something, huge fucking disappointment.
Yeah.
As a moment, pretty great moment, actually. Because when he showed up, I was like, because he's pretty goddamn instantly recognizable, even though you don't expect him.
Yeah.
And I look up and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
I just couldn't believe it. I was, you know, because it was always in the talk of him versus Big Show in
at WrestleMania. Apparently, that was all him though that was trying to do that. So I mean, and the thing is too, I think does he still have that show Shaq versus? No,
I doubt it.
I think that was a couple years ago. I think that's what he was actually promoting when it was him on Raw against the Big Show. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah,
so anyway, he probably has another show. I mean, I don't know if they still have that show, Pros versus Joes or whatnot, that he could have done.
No,
they don't have any more. Okay, well, regardless of where it is, they're in Universal Studios, so we could be taping something in there. But the fact was that Shaq cut one of the best celebrity promos.
Yeah.
You know, Aces and Eights come for you. You know,
And then he like showed his guns. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and he dwarfed Hogan was dwarfed by Shaq.
Shaq is massive.
Yeah, he. Oh, I know, but it's just
Hogan's a legit like 6'3", 6'4". Right?
Oh yeah, but I mean, it's
Shaq is legit.
He is. It's just funny to see him there. And of course, they had when Hulk Hogan won the WCW. Title at Bash at the Beach for the first time against Ric Flair. You had Shaq was there because he was in Orlando. It was in Orlando. Had Orlando Magic at the time.
When Dennis Rodman was there, you know, also before he even wrestled, but he was at Hogan's side. I think it was against Vader, and he dwarfed Hogan, right? And I guess he's
supposed to
be like 6'8" or 6'7".
That's right.
Yeah, but Hogan's then again also billed as 6'8" at his height.
6'7". Yeah.
6'8" in PWI. Hulk Hogan 6'8", 303 pounds versus Andre the Giant. 525. So, of course, they shed a couple hundred pounds, because everybody knows the Giant was 700 pounds at that point. Just ask me, brother.
Yeah, that's true. Ask me again. So that was
how much was he? 800 pounds, brother.
800 pounds, dude.
Really? That's how big he was? Yes, that's worth it, brother.
Yes.
The Giant was 1,200 pounds by the time I slammed him. Dude.
But then, yeah, so then the show opens with AJ and Limpy McLimperton coming out to challenge...
Also known as AJ Styles.
No, Kurt Angle.
Oh.
To fight Hernandez and Eddie Guerrero.
I thought Zach Gowen actually had that name.
Limpy McLimperton.
Yeah. Zach Gowen actually wrestled in the gut check, I think. He's grown a leg, but he's in the gut
but
check.
But weighs less.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd. But... you know, he goes hunting. He goes hunting with Shawn Michaels.
Oh, Zach Gowen.
Stumpy.
Nice.
But I did enjoy during this match with AJ Styles and Kurt Angle call out Hernandez and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
That Taz talks about all the great matches that he called between Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And such and really puts over Eddie Guerrero,
yeah.
which is just
this
tremendous.
Is great. That's great.
Did you know that they're related, Chavo and Eddie?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Fuck.
You're right. You're right.
Al Snow gets a promo.
Al Snow gets a promo.
Cut his hair.
Really
they
good
asked
promo.
Him about,
I
yeah.
Just a moment.
Asked him about Joey Ryan.
Yep.
And, you know, basically just says, you know, that's the deal. Furthering that angle, I guess. And again, it seems like a Bound for Glory deal.
Oh, yeah,
I
it
think.
Does. It definitely does, yeah.
So, which will be great.
So we'll have it on Impact.
Exactly. Well, no, they'll do it on Bound for Glory, but then they'll rematch it on Impact.
I could see it on Bound for Glory, but it would be, my guess right now, that's your YouTube match. Or not YouTube, I guess Spike TV
Spike
match.
Spike TV match. Yeah, that's true, actually. I could see that. That's very, yeah, I like that. Okay, yeah. we book it. And Hulk's talking to Aces and Eights backstage. They find out that they've taken, I mean, it's not really clear. We're meant to read between the lines that they've taken Joseph Park at this point.
No, well, right at the end, Hogan said, because Hogan had sent that producer dude out to
park. Never mind, I know where he is. Yeah.
And at that point, it's like, okay, so they did indeed. Because Hogan said, oh, you got yourself a corporate loader or lawyer dude? Okay, brother, now that I know how the game's played, now
yeah.
I know what the rules are, brother.
Yeah. I just, yeah. So, it's, yeah, I know what the rules
Who's
are.
Who's a better lawyer?
Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, exactly. Who's a better lawyer? Joseph Park or...
Clarence Mason?
No, I was going to say David Otunga. Both companies have
a
lawyer.
And WeTalkWrestling.com, we've had bigger douche. We've had better worker.
Mm-hmm.
We need better lawyer.
Better lawyer, Joseph Park.
Or David Otunga.
We may have to do that. Joseph Park, Esquire. And, of course, Hulk Hogan, as you know, as he mentioned tonight, that he has 99 problems, but Aces and Eights
eight,
ain't one or is one.
Aces and Eights is my biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a fucking awful, fucking, what a
yeah.
horrible lie.
I know.
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck. Hey, you know this country song that was popular a few years ago?
Yeah.
Fuck. Brother. Whatever. Oh, fuck. Anyway, then we,
I don't think that's a country song, but whatever.
Is it?
No.
Who is it?
It's like Jay-Z or something. I don't know, something like
that. Oh, yeah, that one. Okay,
yeah,
I got 99 problems with the bitches ain't one. Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Yeah. So that's what he's referencing. Again, awful.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, what else happened? Speaking of country...
Yeah, it's hardcore country. Dixie and Bruce Pritchard. Now, I don't know if this was like this overall, but it was a Japanese subtitled segment.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just up on the DVR.
You must go.
But it was like
and hit them, Bruce.
It was like watching a Godzilla movie, like the lip syncing the audio was.
The audio was off, and listen,
because. She's sitting there, they're talking, she mentions Al Snow, not right now, Al Snow's coming through the door, and you go, I bet you Al Snow shows up.
Yeah, because we're on the way. I'm like, ooh, I bet Al Snow's coming.
I was like, you're right, how'd you know?
Holy shit. You're psychic. Go now for your free reading.
Anyways, I don't want to go through the whole show. Let's just talk about the things that were good.
Okay.
And the things that were bad.
Okay, so I'm looking at Doug Williams beat up that midget guy that got
the latest
18-year-old
kid who has all the potential 5 years in the business, Mark Oliphalos. I think the crowd was really behind him. I think they will. I don't know. It depends whether they actually want to add anybody to the. His role is to get the shit kicked out of him by Joey Ryan next week, right?
I would think so. Yeah, That's got to be it. Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy had a backstage segment that was really
one of the
good.
One of the best things of the year, maybe?
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, it was... well, there were two... the best thing of the year was still to come.
Well, that's
but,
true. But this was still great.
Yeah, it was. And the thing was is that Austin Aries, your TNA World Heavyweight Champion, is fighting Jeff Hardy, and he comes up to Jeff Hardy and says, I got to talk to you for a sec. Open your damn eyes. And, man, what? That's
no,
my
yeah,
painting.
I believe it was, I can hear you.
I can hear you. That's my painting. Yeah. But then he goes, a lot of people think that, because he never got to say this. He started to, and then he never got to last week, but he says, a lot of people think that I'm the hunted, but I can tell you I'm the hunter. Because I want what you want. You we're the same age, and you've had a Hall of Fame career. You've got a Hall of Fame bank account. Packages arrive at your door. You know.
I think that Hall of Fame bank account might have been pissed away, folks.
I think, or
but either way,
I would more say.
Basically, what he's saying.
I'm gonna say sniffed away.
Yeah, sniffed away. But basically, what he's saying is, like you said, you've had a lot of dinner, and I'm still hungry.
That's I like that line. You've had a lot of dinner, and I'm still hungry. And he goes, and Jeff goes, that's good.
Jeff was just kind of like, uh-huh.
But, I mean, it wasn't about Jeff. Yeah. It was about Austin Aries. And
yeah,
I mean,
he's like, just you think you're chasing me because I have the title?
Yeah.
But I'm chasing you.
I got something to prove.
Yeah, exactly. And the best part, though, was...
When he says, he goes, I want all those fans. These fans that paint their faces and wear stupid things on their wrists and do whatever Jeff Hardy does. He goes, I want a bunch of sheep to blindly follow me.
Yeah, that was great.
But then, it's just like, so just so you know, and again, when he was in the ring, too, later on, he cut the promo, and he goes, a lot of people think it's about Jeff Hardy. He goes, and I totally get why.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he wasn't saying, it makes me sick, I hate you. He goes, I totally get it. Yeah. He's like, I totally get it, but understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
In that I'm the best, I'm the champion, I'm the guy. And so it really works in that, he's not pissed at him. I mean, he was at the end, but that was a little bit different. That was like emotion things. But, I mean, but it's good. They're building a great story with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's what I like. The other thing, though, the best thing, though, to happen on the show was when they're coming out of commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And the TNA World Tour is coming to a city near you. And I don't remember what city they were going to, but they're like, the TNA Tour comes to Aberdeen, Washington. The next thing you hear is, sorry about your damn luck.
Or like, you fucking idiot.
I had to rewind it. I'm like, let's hear that again.
You guys, you think you got your most popular catchphrase, but you don't realize that's like a double-edged sword, backhanded compliment.
The World Tour is coming. Oh, I'm so sorry.
You're going to have to pay to see this. I'm sorry about your
damn luck. Tickets still available.
You fucking idiot.
Yes, tickets are still available. Do you know why?
I don't know why either. Sorry about your damn luck.
Oh fuck, was that funny? I think we watched that like three times. It was
I think
funny.
We're probably gonna watch it three more after the show.
Probably, yeah.
Great.
Oh fuck, and then RVD, man.
Yeah, RVD had a nice little promo.
Well, you thought so? I just thought it was kind of funny. See, people ask me about my best matches
in TNA.
In TNA, and I say every time I wrestle with Bound for Glory, it's awesome. I'm going. Isn't that like twice?
Yeah, it is twice, but he's like, my match against Abyss was off the hoof. And he goes, my match against Jerry Lynn was off the hoof. Mm. He said hoof, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they...
Right, I'm pretty sure he said that.
Yeah, Taz was from the Red Hoof.
Red Hoof section of Brooklyn, New York. Yeah. Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, with Taz, you can't tell. I assume that's what he's saying.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. And RVD's high, so he's probably getting him wrong. But anyway... it was good though. But basically, what he said was, everybody asked me when are you going to see another Van Terminator, because he's only done the one or whatever. And he said, it's going to be at a pay per view. It's going to be at one of the big ones, like Bound for Glory. So if you're going to watch at the big ones. Basically,
watch the pay per views, especially the big ones.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was the part where for me, I thought that's a good line.
That's right. So
that's a perfect line. Makes Bound for Glory seem good, but also the other big ones seem good. And it's like,
no. Well, and the thing with that is, I mean, yeah, it's that hook that if this is what you want to see, if you're an RVD fan who wants to see a Van Terminator, then, of course, there's three of them, you'll want to watch this pay-per-view.
Yeah, but that's three more buys than they had last month.
That's very true.
Samoa Joe also had a Bound for Glory Memories, and his was really cool. It showed a match against Sting from 2008.
Yeah,
move out of the skybox. We're like, I don't remember even seeing this.
He did like a
really
drop
cool.
kick cut out of the skybox deal, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
a missile
like,
drop.
This is really cool. Like, how did I forget this? If I saw this, how do I forget that this happened? That's, an awesome move.
Yeah, it was a really great move, and I'm not sure
we saw it or not. I wouldn't think I did, but I can't.
I don't know that I would have. Again, like, that's 2008 TNA. I don't know that I would have. I'm trying to think 4 years ago.
I think. Was that Samoa Joe? I mean, 2008 2008. It must have been when Russo was there. We might have just said, fuck it.
I don't know. A white guy was president.
Yeah, 2008?
Yeah, October of 2008.
October 2008? Yeah, he still would have been, right?
He would have been, yeah, because he started the next year, right? Yeah. So,
and maybe in a few months, in October 2012, one will be again. Not looking so good now.
Well, no, it would be January of 2013, right? That's when you officially start.
That's true.
The inauguration, as it were.
Inauguration.
Yes. This is true. Maybe it's Dan Hope.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it'd be Jesse Ventura, who said on Howard Stern on Monday that if...
Who?
Howard Stern, his potential...
He was on America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, his potential vice presidential running mate, that he said, if there's a groundswell, he said, I'm not going to do it, but if there's a groundswell of support from people out there, and they get me on ballots in all 50 states, so I can actually be on TV and be in the debates, then I'll run for president in 2016.
Nice. You know, maybe it's time we put a wrestler in the White House.
Yeah. A wrestler who lives in Mexico.
You know what? We were talking a little bit earlier about how Captain America should run for president.
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura should be his running mate.
Oh, that would be awesome.
See?
Captain America is running for president.
That's what you said, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
In the comic books.
Yes. And in real life.
In real life.
Mitt Romney.
Really?
Yeah.
His name is Mitt.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Really?
Mitten shit, Ryan.
Shit, yeah. It's like Mutt and Jeff.
Mitten
Jeff.
All right, what else we got going on here? Anything else we want to talk about that was good?
I think that was about Impact. That's about it for the Impact theory.
Well, what did happen with Aces and Eights and Joseph Park?
Yeah, they were in there. Hogan come to the ring, he said that the deal he made was if they give up, they bring him Joseph Park, he'll go to the clubhouse next. He will personally go to the clubhouse next week, he'll
go on their ground. They've been on my ground. Yeah, you want me on their ground. But if you're looking for a guy who wants a fight, you can
bounce. See, and I asked you if all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, he would just, like, appear and fall to the ground in the clubhouse.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Like he did in the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would actually be Sullivan.
Yes.
He's
maybe
dead.
Sullivan's in charge of Aces and Eights. One of those guys could be him.
I don't think anybody's come from under the ring, though.
Good point.
So, yeah. Sullivan's in WWE
Sullivan anyway. Sullivan was underneath the ring back when they did Little People's Court.
He's in WWE anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets to talk now.
Yeah,
isn't Kevin Sullivan Hornswoggle?
I think so.
Yeah.
Sorry, fatter.
The Taskmaster Hornswoggle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Bastard.
The Little Bastard.
Originally named, I believe, by Chris Benoit.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah.
He's quick, though. He can run through walls. Get away from the Xanax.
Yeah.
But,
Fragile X.
Yeah, speaking of Kevin Sullivan.
We go off on tangents. But anyway, so Joseph Park, finish it.
Yeah, so anyway, Joseph Park.
By the way, what's his name? Wes Briscoe character has a name now. The prospect.
Well, but the thing is, I think they were two different people, though. I thought that Wes Briscoe was, he said prospect. Break the thing, and I thought there was another guy that was with him. Was it the same guy? Okay, then his name is Prospect. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So you got Prospect and Armbreaker,
right?
I mean, so you're getting names to these guys, which is good.
Yeah.
And the thing is that in some of the cases for you to like, you can call him the Prospect Wes Briscoe when he gets unmasked, right?
Absolutely.
You can keep the Armbreaker, though, if it's Mike Knox, just call him Armbreaker, even though he's unmasked. So there's good moves there. I like that. Basically what they do is, they say, you know, take care of the computer problem. And what he did say, he goes, Hogan, we've got his computer here. We've looked
Joseph
through
Park
it.
Joseph Park did tell Hogan earlier that he did have the evidence.
Last week.
Looking.
Yeah.
Well, he said last week, but he also said in an earlier phone conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get in the arena and he was being locked out by security. He does have the evidence, is what he said.
Yes. And the thing was, yes, that's true. And then even Aces and Eights said, you know, he found his computer. And your boy's good.
Mm-hmm.
But then they destroyed the computer, and then Joseph Park said, well, you can destroy the computer, but it's all up here. It's all in my head. And then he took it. Then they took a hammer to his head and knocked him out.
Off camera, though, you didn't really see the blow.
No, you didn't, no.
Which, you said, well, it's Abyss. He'll take the blow. And I said, yeah, the point is, you didn't see it.
That's right.
Because he's in there. He's the leader. He's a member or whatever.
He is, yeah. Something, so I think
something, it definitely seems like
I think at this point...
Now,
and
you threw out, I thought, a great theory. Or
well,
a great thing that I'd love to see.
I kind of said is that how... I mean, especially if they're going to make this a three-way at Bound for Glory with Bully Ray Austin.
How could he not when he pinned the champ? Bully Ray pinned the champ.
Exactly. So...
And by the way, Bully Ray's fucking promo and Aries' promo. You just got to say a little bit about that. As much as I want to just skip through the show because we have other shit to talk about and I don't want to be here all night.
Yes.
We can't ignore that.
Yeah, let's just do the Aces and Eights thing and then we'll get to that.
Yeah.
The Aces and Eights deal was what I had proposed was that how good would it be if yes, it seems like a base Joseph Park is going to be involved in leading them and bringing them in, but if they help Bully Ray win the TNA title, and Bully Ray's in with them as well. So you actually have Joseph Park and Bully Ray together on the same side in Aces and Eights.
Yeah.
You know, that's your little bit of, that's your swerve,
that's
if you
your
will,
swerve,
right?
Not completely illogical.
Exactly. You've got a reason for both and such.
They
but yeah. Now, in Aries' promo, I mean, Aries cut the promo to call out Bully Ray.
Yeah.
And Bully Ray was backstage. He goes, what? He's calling me out. And you could hear him. He's got the microphone in his hand, but he's talking loud enough that it's, you know, did I just hear what I think I did? Are my ears good? Did I hear that right? You couldn't have said that. Did my ears right? And then he picked the microphone. And anyway, he's walking around the ring saying, I couldn't have heard you call me out. I'm Bully Ray, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's just funny, though.
And then a fan hits him in the shoulder. And Bully Ray turns around and he goes, don't you touch me. You're obviously an Austin Aries fan because you're stupid.
Yeah,
don't touch me, or I'll
punch
you in the face.
Yeah.
And Austin Aries, for some reason, I don't get this.
He's a tweener.
Well, I know, but somebody goes, that guy over there, he's not one of my fans, because, you know, via you, I'd go out and hit him, too.
Like, well, but he goes, if this guy puts his hand on you, I'd go, and you punch him in the face, I'd jump out there and punch him second, basically. But I understand it. Number one, he's a tweener. And number two is, hey, guys, no matter what's going on, don't fucking touch him.
Well, I understood it from that perspective, yes. It just was one of those things.
But then
that
the funny part is he takes another couple steps and another person touches him.
Yeah, who has Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And he turns around, he looks at him, he goes, never mind.
You're not worth it.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because you're like, in ECW, he would have gone right.
Oh, yeah, in ECW.
And he thought about it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah,
pretty funny.
Yeah.
That person, by the way, one of the most attractive women, I think, in the audience tonight.
That was a woman?
I don't know, but I'm not sure any of them were.
Huh.
Holy crap. We just started at one point during the boring segment, started counting the ugly, fat women in the crowd.
Yeah, well, and the thing was,
you know what?
We got to eight because that's everybody. That was how many people were in the crowd.
Yeah,
because it's all that would fit.
It's supposed to fit 800, but it only fits 8 when they look like that.
I'm like, look at that fat woman, and you're like, which one? I was like, holy fuck.
I'm like, started counting. I'm like, holy fuck, I'm up to 15 already.
Yeah,
and it's like, what is going on? And they're all Jeff Hardy fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. They're sheep.
Well,
they are sheep or cows.
They are sheep. I was gonna say, man, but
yeah. Cowards.
Well, they called out the cowards, and I'm like, well, maybe one of the cows will come mishearing.
Right.
So, but that was the impact. Like you said, about a 6.5 show. I think. I mean, again, we got a tag team match. A three-way dance tag team match. There, it looks like we're progressing with the Jeff Hardy Austin Aries storyline. I don't know that we are. I mean, in their minds, we're progressing with Rude and Storm. I don't think we are.
It's a huge step back with that. That's the negative of the show. And like I say, it's not taken by itself. It's a good brawl. It's an entertaining brawl. Taken as what they should do booking wise,
yeah.
Fucked it up, maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, and you had Tara and Tessbacher. That was continued a little bit as well. Joey Ryan and Al Snow, you got a little bit of that. The one thing to point out is Tara did say her new boyfriend, who's from Hollywood and very successful, has opened her eyes.
Yes, that's true.
And, of course, you said, well, it's Eric Young, because that's where he's billing himself from now is
exactly.
Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a TV show and whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, it makes sense that ODB versus Tara after she wins the title in 2 or 3 months.
Right.
And you think she's down there on ODB's side, and he turns on her and sides with Tara. And
yeah.
Heel.
And that makes sense, and that's fine.
Especially after it was gone that long for her and everything, like, it totally makes sense.
It does. And, I mean, they said, oh, it's a big star from Hollywood, and I said, well, it's Jason Hervey, and then you said...
I said, oh, no, he's not nearly as big a star as Eric Young.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, lend me your ear and I'll sing you a song.
Wonder Years.
I will try not to sing out of key.
Isn't he also, wasn't Jason Hervey also underneath the ring, Little People's Court?
I think so. Well, that was, but that day he was on his knees for Missy Hyatt.
Yeah.
So, ask Missy.
Shit. But,
that was literally.
Night of Champions, what did you think?
Better than I expected. Yeah, as we said, we were recording the Night of Champions, so we had, as soon as Mo hit stop, it said fatal error. And I was like, oh, good. We did.
How's that recording on the other computer? I forgot to turn it off.
It didn't turn on. Oh, good. I'm glad we were back.
I'm going to bed. Good night.
Yeah, well, it was like an hour and a half we did, but.
We had some good shit on there.
We did. I mean, JBL come out. I mean, a lot of people are ragging on JBL for his inaccuracies. I mean, my whole thing was accurate or not. It's all work, and he was entertaining.
Yeah.
And he made the show. I thought I loved him on commentary as well.
At least one star better. One star better or whatever, yeah.
But a lot better than I thought the show was going to be.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know that you need to buy the replay if you didn't see it, but definitely a good show.
The main match of the night was Ziggler versus Orton, which I thought has particularly their last 5-minute finishing sequence, and I enjoyed Kane and Daniel Bryan and
hugging it out. And I enjoyed Cena and Punk as the main event. I thought that was
I don't particularly like the Screwjob finish in the main event. But also the opening match, the four was also pretty decent. So
that was
not a bad show.
Not at all. So I mean that was a show worth
We did get Sin Cara versus Rey for just a few little bits and nothing spectacular, but enough of a tease.
Yeah, enough that it's like, okay, yeah, I'll watch that one when the time comes for sure. So, just trying to think of what else. There wasn't really anything else. I mean, we had Eve win the Divas title.
Because Caitlyn got Nancy Kerrigan.
Yes.
So.
And then
letting us avoid that match, thank God.
Oh fuck yeah! And then we had. Kane and Daniel Bryan winning the tag team titles.
Yeah, as they should.
Yes, exactly. As we sort of thought that they would, and then they should, and then they had the rematch on Raw, and kept them. So,
yeah.
So again, that's all good in the hood, as they say.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who they are, but.
I'm not sure who says
but
that.
Raw, I wanted to point out. Then we had Raw on Monday. Raw. From Bridgeport, Connecticut. You know what the importance in wrestling history that Bridgeport, Connecticut has?
That it's Bridgeport, Connecticut?
See? It just writes itself. In the 50s, in 1951, Bobby the Brain Heenan started watching wrestling from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he got hooked.
All right.
And that's
far more significant than anything that happened this night.
It definitely is. But we owe wrestling from Bridgeport, Connecticut, a debt of gratitude because it brought us Bobby the Brain Heenan.
One of the greatest
ever. Yes. So as soon as I heard Bridgeport, who ever heard Bridgeport before? Oh, Heenan talked about it. So, but yes, so we had, again, we had Cole, Lawler, and, or Cole Lawler, Cole, JBL, and Jim Ross, and Jim Ross, it was just Cole and JBL on the pay-per-view,
yes.
And then Jim Ross also joined him as the three-man booth, yes, he was, they were all great. Cole should be noted the straight man, again,
absolutely.
Right, babyface, straight man.
If you saw Cole in, say, 2001, that's the character now, even 2006, that's the character now.
Yes, I would go closer to 2001 because he had credibility then.
Yeah.
In like 2003, I guess, with the SmackDown 6,
yeah.
He got the credibility for calling those matches with Taz, and now again he's back. He has credibility, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's there. I don't want to go through everything on Raw here, but Paul Heyman out. Did his little spiel there. It ended up being trying to think. It was Heyman come out, and then it was Cena and Sheamus against Del Rio and Punk.
Yes.
As the main event.
Yes, Cena didn't win the title. He would acknowledge that he didn't lose the match, but he didn't win the title, and he wanted a chance, opportunity to earn one more shot, and that's what AJ gave him by putting him in this match.
Well, the fucking retarded thing was he won another thing, and then AJ said, well, I'm going to make a tag team match. And who knows? Maybe. The result of this match will give somebody a title shot.
Yeah.
And Cena goes, thank you.
Thank you.
For what? You fuck.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stupid.
You know what I'm hoping, actually?
Skipped away.
I hope...
for a general manager.
And I get so... I mean,
bridge.
John Cena again was back to just being John Cena.
Yeah, he was awfully happy for a guy who hadn't won again.
Lost, and he was happy, and it was pissing me off to the point that I actually was hoping his new shirt there that he's got with the pink and the round thing, the pink and around.
He's not stealing anybody's colors. That's for the breast cancer.
Yes, but I was hoping that, because it's on in the front of his shirt, I was hoping that there was cancer in the shirt that would seep into John Cena's body to take him off television.
Yeah. Well, something almost happened to take him off, but it won't take him off.
It won't. Fuck. But no, it's again, and it's John Cena, and it is what it is, and again, it's.
I think Heyman is also legitimately annoyed with that character because he gets it.
You could kind of see the look on his face with some of the eyebrows he was raising, and kind of looking, going.
It was less him playing his character, more him going.
Well,
don't you know how to sell a match?
Part of it was like, it was almost like when Cena was talking, I got the look with Heyman. It was like that subtle wrestler. Tell in the ring without talking, kind of going,
yeah.
Are you sure you want to go there?
Yeah.
But that those tells and those signals went out about 1994, and so Cena probably wouldn't even know to pick up on them.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, it just, it was just like, I was picking up on them, for fuck's sake. But,
a lot more about wrestling history than John Cena.
John Cena, that's true. I know a lot more about wrestling present than John Cena. Fuck.
Anyway.
There's a sleeping animal in my fucking computer room here that knows a lot more about wrestling present than John Cena, too.
Yeah, and that dog is stupid.
Yes, exactly. Fuck.
Anyway.
It's peroxide, hydrogen peroxide. But just looking at anything else, I thought the crowd was pretty dead.
You like punching your dog.
Yeah.
Well, you were saving his life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's
my life, yeah. Dead crowd on Raw, I thought.
Again,
did you see enough of it?
Yeah, that's one thing. Because I was skipping a lot of it. Because I got home kind of late, so I was watching it late too. That's so that didn't help. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if I'd say dead crowd. But again, it's like a 3-hour show. How do you sustain that with all? It's not like a pay per view where you can sustain it. You have so many breaks and shit.
Yeah.
And
And
so much backstage stuff. And everything, I just think it's difficult to sustain a 3-hour show.
It is.
To the live crowd. So I thought that was a lot of it.
I guess my other question for you coming off Raw is, will we ever see Miz TV again?
I don't think so.
Yeah. That was fucking awful.
Yeah. And talk about, the crowd hated it, right? They're chanting boring.
Yes. To the point.
I was bored enough to skip through it.
They were sounding boring to the point where they had JBL say, crowd is chanting boring and I don't disagree with them.
Which is probably Vince telling them
to say. And that to me is a headset feed, yeah.
And, it's Miz, they need to go back and look at Miz about 16, 18 months ago. When he first came out, that first time he came out, he had those kind of long shorts. Like
the hats and everything.
The hat and all that shit. And he came out and he goes, different outfit, same mouth. And then for about 3 months, he cut incredible promos. What it was that worked, they need to go back, and he needs to go back.
You said 18, was it? So it wasn't. Wasn't it like 3 years ago?
No. No, it was like six or like.
He main evented WrestleMania like 18 months ago, 15 months ago.
Right. So it was 2 years ago, let's say.
Well, then you're only 6 months. No, it was like 3 years ago.
I don't think it was that long.
Because the first time he cracked that promo, I'm the Miz and I'm awesome,
yeah,
on John Cena, is that the time frame you're talking about?
Oh, you're right, because he got his ass kicked for several months.
Yeah. The Calgary Kid.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
But even then, that was when it was starting to get it. But it was probably, you're right, it's probably 6 months later where he was cutting promos and he was just so good and commanding.
Consistently,
commanding the mic and the audience.
Yeah.
And where JR said, within a year's time, this guy's going to be main eventing WrestleMania. And 9 months later, he was.
Yeah.
So let's go back. So that's probably about...
3 years ago.
No, well, where JR said that?
Two and a half, then, okay.
Two and a half, maybe a little less, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, but they need to go back to that time, all that time frame, and watch him again, and get what his character, what made it work, because he's lost it, and they've lost it. They don't get what makes his character work when they're giving him stuff to say. He doesn't get it either. His delivery is different. It's just not quite the same. His confidence level, everything's forced.
All he is...
And he's the same fucking... Same bullshit every time.
He's really, and then he's create a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he does really, 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 and then so the crowd could chant, really. Then he goes, really? That's all he is.
Yeah.
He's generic moves. He's generic look. He's generic tights. He's generic promos.
His look is better, I think, a little better.
But it's still generic. He's got slick back hair instead of having a faux hawk, and a little bit of a bad teenage beard. But that's it. And it's still a generic presentation.
To me, he's been saying the same things now for since about when.
He main evented WrestleMania?
I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, since about 3 months actually, since he won that title.
Yeah.
I don't think he's cut a different promo. And it's, there's nothing there. Like, there's nothing. So they need to, like I said this to you about 6 months ago, I still believe this. Best thing, turn him babyface. But barring that, they need to go back and actually study what made him work and see if they can recapture that. Because they've just forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's just it.
He's forgotten, they've forgotten.
Yeah.
It just run in place after a while.
That's what it is.
And to me, Miz is
stagnant is what it
exactly,
is.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. He is the living embodiment of what Raw is right now.
Yeah.
They just forgotten what was worth, and they just run in place, and it's stagnant.
They're the puppy who lost their way.
And you punched in the face.
Thank you very much, Miss Lippy. But, I just think that I agree with you. I mean, that was awful. It looks like his next challenger is Ryback.
Yeah.
So
Ryback will get the belt. This is about where, you're right, where Goldberg beats Raven for the belt. So.
Yeah, and
that's what Goldberg was over. Ryback is.
Well, no, that's right, and so it's you're gonna have and then I mean, culminating. I don't know what you do at Hell in the Cell. I guess it's 6 weeks away. It's probably what you do.
I don't know.
Not Goldberg, in the cell, but at the pay per view.
That's the culmination. Like you say, he wins the belt in probably 2 weeks.
I would think he'd win the belt at the pay per view. But
I think the rematch.
I guess with 3 hours of Raw, I guess you're right.
I don't think they can hold it off that long.
Yeah, you're right. They'll blow their load, and there you go. But I mean, so then you go right back to the Intercontinental Champion, next Intercontinental Champion, and then he just blows through jobber after jobber, and maybe gets screwed out of it, a la the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania, the way Keenan and Rude
won. He had to give up one, right?
I was going
to
say, he didn't lose it. He beat Hogan.
Yeah, he had to give up one.
I don't think Ryback will beat Hogan.
Which is the same thing. He might.
It's true.
It's just the same thing that happened, though, with of course, Warrior eventually. Also, he had to give it up.
Beat Hogan.
Yeah, beat Hogan.
But War, that was the second time, though, because Warrior lost the title with Rick Rude thanks to Bobby Heenan. There you go. See, holding the thing. So you could do something that way where you get a manager to hold the leg, So, I mean, that's possible, right? So
depends on how long they want to give him the undefeated streak. So far, of course, they have not called it an undefeated streak. Interesting that they're putting him on the road with guys who are a little bit better workers to make him go a little longer.
Yeah.
And apparently it's not helping.
No, but you got to do that. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I mean, so you might as well just go ahead and do that. If they can keep it and they can keep the Intercontinental title, my fantasy book, my plan, what I would do if Ryback is going to win the Intercontinental Championship, I have him actually go over at WrestleMania, keep hold on to the title at WrestleMania. But to me, his opponent at WrestleMania is the Big Show. And you build up Ryback versus the Big Show at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title, and Ryback beats the Big Show. And that's just beats the biggest man in the company if they're going to build up a monster.
It's the right thing to do, but it's the wrong thing to do in that he's never going to get over and he sucks.
It's a long way away. I agree with you.
So you're better off putting that belt on somebody who's going to actually go and have a good match. I'd rather have.
I understand that. That, unfortunately,
to me, still what the Intercontinental belt should be. This is the match. This is the belt that will mean.
I understand that. You put it on Alex Riley and you have 5-star matches. But
yeah.
No. But the thing is you if you are going to put on Ryback and keep it, then that's again that's what I do. If you're booking Ryback,
from
that's how I do it. You know what I mean?
From what they should do, for how they do buy Ryback for sure.
But I agree with you that it should be on Cody Rhodes. I mean, it's...
Something like that's better.
Yeah. Or Sin Cara. No. Alex Riley
so
just mentioned...
The Sin Cara and Ray thing, and that's good.
Yes. Yes, that's true, too. And the keeping of the tag team, great match with Primo and Epico. I mean, that's tremendous. Primetime players jump after, so you've got a non-title undercard tag
team
feud. Slowly
and without anybody realizing, they have built up a pretty decent tag team
version. You've got.
And I hope they continue to keep Kofi and Truth together here, as well. And Kofi should have that Pele kick.
Yeah, we talked about that. If any, because AJ Styles did the Pele kick, and you said someone in WWE should steal that. Or I'm surprised no one has it. Who would do it? And he said Kofi, and I was like, yeah, Kofi would be the guy to do the Pele. Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
That would. Just trying to think of anything else that happened on Raw that was decent.
Decent? Well, I mean, it wasn't decent. Their latest thing here, and this really bugs me, and they've been doing it for a while, but they're doing it more and more. They did it, I think, twice this show. They had Layla back out
there. Less white people?
And that's what bugs you.
Oh.
You're the German.
Da.
They had
I just want ratings to go high.
Hail? Hail?
Hail?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's raining.
Yeah. But... So they had Layla out there speaking of German.
Yes. Eva Braun.
They had Layla out there on commentary again.
Yes.
They had Antonio Cesaro out there on commentary, again. This is a big thing for them, and they're doing it more since they went to 3 hours, and now they've done it more than once per show with people coming out and doing the guest commentary.
Yeah.
And I hate it too often, and too often it falls flat. These people don't know what to say because they've been trained on how to work on their feet.
Yeah.
And they're doing it more and more, and I don't like it.
Is it short-term pain for long-term gain? Do you think if they get doing it more that people will eventually get better at it?
No.
Okay. No,
if you do it once every 3 months,
yeah,
or once every 6 months,
individually, that's
individually,
true.
Individually, the way they rotate it?
Yeah.
No. I mean, Layla, yeah, she's done it twice now, but she's not learning anything. And I don't think they're teaching her to learn anything. It's not helping her.
No.
It doesn't do anything for her.
I didn't mind Cesaro so much.
No, I didn't mind Cesaro. I just hate the gimmick, and they're going to it far too often.
They are relying...
And admittedly, I skipped a lot of that shit, too, so I can't even say I didn't mind it.
I thought Cesaro was okay on the commentary, again, from what I'd heard. Again, it's with the five... It's the five languages deal, and that's, you know...
They did something with him on SmackDown, and the spoilers here that I like.
Though. Yeah, and yeah, we'll get there. But no, I think that I don't know if there's anything else left on Raw that I could hear.
Let's move on. SmackDown spoilers. Let's actually hit that last. Let's do a little couple news items, and we do have a call coming in. Should we answer?
Let's answer this. I'd ask this guy. He was on Impact tonight, so let's just get his take. So when, as soon as I saw him, I said, hey, we're doing a show. You want to come on? He's like, yeah. So let's just answer it. Hey, thanks. We Talk Wrestling.
Hey.
Jack, how you doing?
It's Big Arasado.
I thought that would be you. How's it going? You were right on Impact tonight.
I was on Impact tonight.
Live.
How's live?
With the Hulkster.
The Hulkster.
And you had a message for Aces and Eights.
There's one reason I called in.
Yeah?
Something I want to say.
Okay.
It's just this.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
If you can hear it now.
Just let me turn you up. Okay, we can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, because this is what I'm going to say.
We can hear you.
Okay, good. All right. Aces and Eights.
Yeah.
Tell me how my ass tastes. Tell me how my ass tastes.
Who's that now?
Aces and Eights. Tell me how my ass tastes. Fuck.
Hang up on him.
Hey,
hang up on him.
Moses got it. Yeah, he was beauty.
Yes, he's not going anywhere.
Oh, fuck. Mo was just in the corner just killing himself laughing at Jack.
I'm grooving, man. The guy's Get off my ass. Like, he's not going anywhere. Get him off there.
He's saying, tell me how my ass tastes. And Shaq is saying, tell me how my ass tastes. And Mo is in the corner doing the millions of dollars dance there.
Millions of dollars.
I did like that, though, after, speaking of millions of dollars, thank you, Shaq, for calling in, and we'll have him back on, primetime players, after Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, they beat him down, and then they did cut a more serious level promo. This wasn't millions of dollars. This was, we're going to take it again. I didn't think it was very good.
It was the big man angry, and his slimy partner behind laughing because he knows he has this big man on his side.
Yes, exactly. Titus O'Neil was really intense. Yeah, Darren Young was just more, smarmy.
Yeah.
You know, and that was,
I like that.
So
I think they're terrific.
They're a great team. I think I don't know about the whistle. You get rid of the whistle with Titus O'Neil. He blows the whistle in backstage a couple times. I might get rid of that.
I probably skip that.
Yeah, it's not good. It's like Bill Alfonso. I've never liked the whistle.
No.
Daddy. But anyway, Raw got a 2.9.
Yep.
You know, so.
Downhill, I like to say they can't sustain 3 hours. And, I mean, they're obviously now up against the huge ratings of Monday Night Football. That was a big game they had Monday night. Falcons versus the Broncos.
Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly,
it's there. But, no, it's good. So we mentioned Ryback for the Miz. It looks like that Antonio Cesaro is going to fight Brodus Clay for the United States title. So there's your secondary title feud. So you've got Miz trying to deal with Ryback and Antonio trying to deal with Brodus Clay.
Antonio has a better chance of carrying Brodus Clay than Miz does carrying Ryback.
The Ryback. Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just looking to see what else. Matt Morgan.
Yeah.
Is back in the TNA.
We were talking about how he's going to the WWE just like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it looked like, you know, just kind of waiting and seeing and stuff. And I guess he's 36 years old, I think is his age, and they just kind of he couldn't wait any longer, really. He's got to put food on the table, right? So, I mean,
yeah,
it's just a matter.
Yeah.
So what he's done is twice now on house shows in TNA, he has jumped the rail in street clothes as a fan. And I don't know who he beat the second time, but the first time he beat up Robbie E.
Yeah.
There. So that's kind of what he's doing, is almost like an outsider's gimmick.
Yeah, and I like that, but I think where he plays in is Aces and Eights. Not that he's a member of Aces and Eights, but that when Aces and Eights seems to have the upper hand, you introduce him on the TNA side, or you can even play into the which side is he on, but I don't want to do that because that's too NWO for me. I just think you introduce him as the answer, that you have a lot of big men. Here's our big man.
I don't mind that you do that.
Especially if Abyss is the leader and you had the Abyss Matt Morgan tag team / feud for a long time. So
I don't mind that you necessarily do that in terms of whose side is he on, because it's too NWO. Because, I mean, really, the NWO was, 15, 16 years ago.
I suppose.
And so, if you're a 20-year-old, you didn't see that.
That's true.
You know, if you're a 25-year-old, you probably didn't even see it, for God's sake. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but
nobody in that crowd tonight, I don't think, was 25-year-old, because I was looking at all those female dogs in the crowd, and they don't live that long.
That's true. That's true. They just, some of them were 25 tons, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I do remember the one girl.
I would love to actually go to their watch a show, though, because I'd like to be in a room where I feel skinny.
Man, you imagine? Huh. It's interesting that Bertha Faye was back. But I'm just trying to think of any other notes that we had. Referee Brad Maddox. We can talk about referee Brad Maddox.
I really don't give a fuck. Go ahead and say whatever you want.
Well, I'm just going to say, he obviously, I mean, when he was there, he's trained. He's former Florida FCW, which is now NXT, FCW tag team champion. So he's trained as a worker. So obviously, if you saw that on Raw and Punk going after him saying, we're going to, my foot was on the ropes, so that's going to lead to something. With at least him taking a bump, or I don't want to say being in a match necessarily, but something's going to happen there, because this is his first appearance too.
Yeah.
So So something's going to go. I hope they're not going with a Danny Davis type deal in the other way, but
again, this guy can't be in the main event. Both of them, he won't be good enough. He won't be over enough, and
doggone it, people won't like him enough.
No, fuck no.
So, yes, but the other thing I want to point out, because I keep hearing this all kind of online, is Paul Heyman, and I noticed this on Raw and Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's, you know, why does CM Punk need a mouthpiece? Right, CM Punk's a promo, a great promo. Why does? And but I think Paul Heyman when
tell
he
you?
When yes,
you're going to tell me.
Well, I was just going to say that Paul Heyman is not a mouthpiece.
No.
Paul Heyman is a heat getter.
That's you got it.
And then that's the deal. So it's just,
if people won't really cheat or boo CM Punk, but they will boo Heyman.
That's
they
all it is.
Boo Heyman, CM Punk with Heyman.
And as I said, I like
and
it.
You know what? If you have two guys who can talk together, so what? You had Bobby Heenan and Nick Bockwinkel together too.
You had Bobby Heenan and Nick Bockwinkel. You had Bobby Heenan and Kurt Hennig. You had Bobby Heenan and Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. You had Bobby Heenan and Rick Rude.
Yeah.
I mean, you had all of these guys that with Heenan that could cut promos, but the reason you put them with Heenan is so they had heat.
Exactly.
And that's what you're doing with Punk and Heyman. And that's Heyman's role. I mean, you could put Heyman with another guy that could cut a promo. You could put Heyman with, say, Dolph Ziggler, and he would get heat. I mean, that's I'm not saying he would, but I'm just saying that's Ziggler can do it, Heyman, you know. So that's the reason. I was reading that sort of in various things and hearing that in various things is, you know, both guys can talk and don't get it. That's what's to get.
You know, Ziggler is somebody that, like on the pay-per-view, they were cheering him over Orton.
Yeah.
Fans refuse to really take to him as a heel. They keep on, and it's not just the hardcore fans. It's consistently everywhere. It's different levels, but there's always a portion of the crowd that's behind him. Why do you think that the crowd just so much of the crowd just doesn't want to boo this guy anymore? Why is it that you think they? Why do you think they like Ziggler?
I think part of it is that, like, he's entertaining.
Yeah.
Is what it is. I mean, I don't even say that it's respect so much in it, but I mean, he bumps his ass off.
I think it is respect.
Well, that's part of it, but part of it in the respect is that he's entertaining.
Yeah.
He's a guy that when you go and you watch, you know you're going to be entertained watching him.
Well,
so it's like The Rock, not to the same, obviously, level, but I was entertained. But you were entertained watching The Rock. You were entertained watching Shawn Michaels. You were entertaining watching, you know, even Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And that's why the crowd gets behind these guys. It's not that they like them, hate them. Is that they entertain me, and I will cheer who I would pay to see.
I think it is a lot of respect. I think in a world where you have a lot of Mizes and a lot of Brutus Clays and a lot of Rybacks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys who are like Carlito and just were never going to give the effort.
Well, it's Primo and Epico.
Well, Carlito in his day. Just that idea of people that are lazy or comfortable where they are,
mm-hmm.
and this guy is obviously not. He's obviously hungry and doing everything he can to rise that card. People are behind an underdog. I think there's that sense that this guy, there's a glass ceiling, and this guy's one of the few guys who's trying to break through it, whereas everybody else is giving up.
Yeah, I think
it's
probably part of it. But I mean, when you're comparing him to Brodus, because I mean, I don't know that that Dolph Ziggler's, you know, hungrier than Ryback. Let's say, I mean, Ryback's always saying, Ryback's always saying, feed me more.
Either, and he's been around longer. So I think that's it. I think it's time to push him and turn him face.
Yeah, I would
put him a flare. Fucking do it.
Well, that's the thing.
And Flair thinks that, like he did in TNA, and he probably fucking thinks that because Flair's fucking drunk and needs somebody to pay his fucking bar tab. But if he thinks he's going to come in and be a heel again,
yeah, well, that's
idiot.
The problem. That's the problem.
Never happened.
No, and then again, it's so that's I agree. That's kind of what you the thing. And if you're going to do, I mean, I guess the thought. At least now is to do a double turn,
yeah.
Almost with I'll talk about it in a second. But the thought was to turn maybe not at the same time at least, but to go Randy Orton could go heel then if Ziggler went face. Maybe not at the same time, but then there could be a cause and effect there because I think they don't want to really turn Orton yet. Until
Orton wants to, I know Orton wants to turn. I don't think the crowd will take to it. I think they want to cheer him. So.
Well, that's, yeah, that still is the thing.
He's one of the few guys who consistently gets the babyface reaction.
He does, yeah. I mean, Boston, you know, wasn't, the pay-per-view wasn't a good thing. And, I mean, he lost it. He flipped the crowd off.
Yeah.
He mouthed fuck off to them. He challenged the guy in the front row to a fight after the show. Like, Orton was pissed.
Well, Orton, you may not know this, but he's got anger management issues.
Does he? Where is Dr. Shelby?
I don't fucking know, but talk about a guy who needs him.
He does need Dr. Shelby.
That's
yeah, that's, but I mean, so that was kind of the, that's, I would, I mean, and I'd like to kind of go on a little bit of my soapbox right now, because I do hear this, and I hear it every once in a while again, same thing. Well, why don't they do a double turn?
Yeah.
How many fucking double turns have actually worked?
One?
Yeah. Bret Hart and Steve Austin did a double turn.
Because it was done well, it was so hard to do.
And it was such, and that was not, they decided at WrestleMania to do a double turn.
Yeah.
That was done, really, that started even before for the Survivor Series when they had their original match when Bret Hart come back. It was
absolutely
that Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass, started the double turn in the summer.
Go back to that very first night there in Madison Square Garden. Bret Hart was said in that night in his promo right before the match, it may not be a church, but it is holy ground. Madison Square Garden, where he won the world a title from Yokozuna, WrestleMania 10, crowd, he was always over there, huge crowd. The crowd went crazy for him. Still didn't mean that 60 to 70% of that audience, when the heel walked out and it was Austin way before he became the man,
yeah,
before he had won a major pay-per-view match or anything, he still came out to a huge babyface reaction.
Oh, yeah.
And fucking Vince McMahon sits there going, a lot of people cheer this man and I don't understand why.
Yeah, a lot of people cheer him, and I don't know why.
The fucking seeds were planted right there.
Well, Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass.
Yeah.
Started it, and then again, so we had a good year in the making for this, almost 9 months in the making. So that's what people, when they just, I just love when I hear people just so flippantly go, well, they could do a double turn. Yeah, they could just do a double turn. Why not? Yeah, that'll
why not?
Work.
They tried to do that a couple times in WCW. Do you remember them?
No, I did. And they've tried to do them in WWF too, and I don't remember them. I mean,
you know why? Because it's not so fucking easy.
No, exactly. So it's, I mean, I don't see them doing, I mean, yes, Orton could go heel. Yes, Ziggler could go face. That means you do a double turn. It just means that in 6 months, one's a heel and one's a face slowly that way, other ways. You know, it's just one of those things. So, kind of stupid. Extremely stupid. Interesting note, and this comes right from Mr. Dave Meltzer.
Who?
That has said, he's on Twitter, that has indicated that...
Was he on America's Got Talent?
Yeah, he was. Olate Dogs.
Mm.
Yeah, he was one of the dogs.
Mm.
But the thing is, at least he's a winner. The thing is, the WWE and All Japan Pro Wrestling have started a business relationship of some size. He's promised more details next week, but just that there has been a business relationship. All Japan Pro Wrestling, you know, a situation where they're having financial problems. That is a place where, you know, like Johnny Ace wrestled and Steve Williams and guys. And, you know, it really was in the mid-90s the place where wrestling in terms of in-ring action was at its height.
Yes, absolutely.
And they've sort of started some sort of business range. I said to you, I don't know, maybe
wrestling,
if it's the...
Wrestling in Japan, right, I couldn't tell you who the champion is right now. I know there's good workers over there, but it's just not hot. It's really much worse than it is off here, wrestling in Japan right now. It's just a really bad place.
It is, as far as
popular culture.
So financially, they're not doing so well, so I don't know if, again, and my thought to you was maybe they inject them with some cash, and you know, they get, in exchange, they get access to the tape library, or maybe they buy the tape library, for God's sakes. Who knows?
Who knows?
And just in terms of, you know, more, I guess, stuff for the network,
more
stuff for a compilation stuff, you know?
Yeah, I would think more of that, because more and more as time goes on, it doesn't look like a network's going to happen, so.
Well, no, but I mean, I do still think that the WWE is going to get some form of regular video, you know, I'll call it content, in some form out on a regular basis. I said to you, online. I mean, they partnered with YouTube. Again, my whole thing with the internet was that, again, quantify it to me. Well, on their own channel, they can quantify. They know how many hits that people did of their own WWE Nation thing. They're getting paid for it right now. Maybe not a lot, but I mean, I think that's Well, all this talk, and that was kind of the thing, we're talking about the network, is all the talk of the network is coming at a time where less and less people are actually watching television, the more people are getting this stuff online. So if you want to hit it, then get something, as said, like a, almost like I said to you, like a Netflix type thing, where a WWE thing where I can watch it on my Xbox, or I can watch it on my laptop, or something that way.
You have an app.
You have,
you know, and you can take it, go anywhere and watch it. If you're on an airplane, you can watch it, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I pay, you know, whatever it is, $10-$12 a month.
Yeah.
And get the same, similar to Classics on Demand. You just call it the network.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how you save your face with, yeah, we see we launched the network.
Exactly, exactly. But more content than Classics on Demand. You know, much more like Netflix, which has a fairly large library.
Well, and you can add to it, because Netflix library just keeps growing.
Exactly.
Right? It's just, you just keep adding stuff. So you could go back, you could watch Field of Dreams on Netflix. Yes, exactly. They just keep growing. The difference here is that the WWE Network would not be disgusting. But I mean, there's no reason to take stuff off. Like I said, you could watch like Ghostbusters on Netflix, for God's sakes.
Exactly.
I mean, all Field of Dreams. You can watch all these old things. So you could do that.
You could also watch Captain America on there. So.
That's true. See, I mean, it's and his running mate Jesse Ventura is probably on there in some sort. So,
I'm sure he is.
You know, but I think that
his sixth book is out. I got to read all six now.
Who?
Jesse Ventura. Demo Cribs and Rebloodlicans, it's called, I believe.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Say that three times fast.
No. Now, are they both on the plains of Destrucity?
If they were on with Jesse Ventura, he would have been strip searched and they wouldn't have been.
That's true.
Well, his body's full of metal.
Well, and when you say Rebloodlicans, I mean, Jesse Ventura, he ain't got time to bleed.
No.
So. I mean, that's, that is, I mean, I'm trying to think of, oh, I also wanted to mention referee Brad Maddox. I'm sorry, my point that I had about referee.
Oh, I heard he's in ROH. Do you give a fuck?
No.
Okay.
Referee Brad Maddox.
I don't give a fuck.
You know what his wrestling name was on the independent circuit?
What?
Beef Wellington.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yes.
Canadian.
Yes, Beef Wellington.
From Ontario.
From Ontario. Not the dead guy.
The hardcore wrestler.
That helped to cause Benoit to snap.
He's the hardcore wrestler.
Yes, yes. Who's,
I didn't even know he ever went to the WWE Developmental. I hear he's been, he's pretty good. I think I've actually seen some of his stuff.
I was going to say, yeah, but
I have seen some of his stuff, like hardcore matches, whatever.
So. That, yeah, and okay. that's who it was. Anyway, or he is still. So,
okay, he's still not ready for a main event.
No, not at all. I was going to ask you, because I thought of this earlier in the week, because I was writing down that Ryback versus Miz and Brodus versus Antonio Cesaro and such, and those are the undercard feuds. But really, who do you think on the roster right now would you make their next breakout star?
What are the parameters here? Do you mean I could say
well, just,
that's
you could
all
do, singular? You could just do whatever you want. I mean, it's like, who do you think, who would you, again, when you looked in 1996, the Royal Rumble of 1996, and you would have looked around and said, who would I made the big breakout star, I probably, at that point, still would have said Steve Austin. Because I remember when Steve Austin come in, because I'd known him from WCW,
and I
know, even though he was the ringmaster, I remember when he debuted on the Brother Love Show. I'll never forget it because I was in university in Lethbridge, Alberta. I was at the campus bar and we used to watch Raw on Mondays and we'd be drinking, shocking. And
that's where you had mouth empty.
He come out, yeah. He come out and there he is and they said Steve Austin, the ringmaster.
Yeah.
And I said, that guy is fucking great.
Yep.
I said, I didn't know how big. I mean, I had no idea to know Austin 316 and the shirts and the big, but I said, that guy is going to be a star.
I don't see a Steve Austin. I don't even know that I see a John Cena or Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the guy I would probably look to that I like a lot is Wade Barrett.
Yeah, Wade Barrett, I can see that. That wasn't the guy I was going to go with, but Wade Barrett, yeah.
Wade Barrett, I hate his new finisher. I think it's too stiff.
Yeah.
I really pretty look to, I mean, I've certainly watched it a couple times gone back and watched it because it seems to hit some hard in the back of the head where UFC are not allowed to hit in the back of the head at one spot. It really does smack the guys pretty good there, so I don't like that move. Though I like the Wasteland, and I don't mind him changing up and doing a different move.
Yeah.
It's more versatile that you can do on anybody. I just don't like this one.
Yeah. Well, the problem I have with his new finisher, the problem I have with his new finisher is that he's never going to beat one of the Usos with it.
Their heads are so hard.
Yeah.
And also at the pay-per-view, you'll remember there was a move from Antonio Cesaro where he did this uppercut move.
Yeah.
That flipped over.
He threw Zack Ryder right up in the air and then hit him with an uppercut.
Yeah, flipped him over. To me, that looks like a safer move, but a great finisher too. So I would like to see that be Cesaro's other finisher.
Right.
So that's more like what I'd like to see from. But yeah, I look at Wade Barrett. I think he's got pretty much everything.
Yeah. Okay. Good. For me, I think the guy that I would build the breakout star against, and you just mentioned him, is Cesaro.
Yeah.
I think he's got the size for WWE, as Barrett does, he's got that gimmick right now, but you can move away from the five, you know what I mean, and evolve it.
Here's the thing about Cesaro, though. I mean, you mentioned this, and I don't disagree with you. I think he's a very good worker. I see him as a mechanic. I see him as a U.S. champion, a guy who can get the occasional, as a Christian type. You know, not a guy who's the next breakout star. I mean, I look at, in every single way, Chris Hero.
I was going to say Cassius Ohno then, yeah.
Is the better guy. He's a better promo. He's a more charismatic. He's a better worker.
Yeah.
That said, he doesn't have the intangibles, the size and the look and the things that WWE likes.
Yeah.
In the same way. And that's what's holding him against him. But even though he's tall, he just doesn't have that.
Right, he did the exact. Well, but so, I mean, it worked all right for Edge.
Yeah, it's different.
It is, but it is.
And Edge had that physique in the day. Look back.
Well, V got his physique, I guess. Yeah, when he was rated R.
There was a point where he was pretty fucking before everything went down. He was pretty big.
Yeah, that's true.
I know what you're saying about Cesaro. I don't see him at that level. I like him, but not that level. I think Wade Barrett is the guy with more of everything.
Yeah, no, and I would agree with that. I wasn't even thinking of Wade Barrett, but that's a good, that is a good one.
I don't know, but he's got a lot of.
If you had the choice to take anybody on the roster and say, I'm going to strap the rocket to you and you're my guy, and I'm going to do that, then that's the guy. And I would agree,
if you're saying the guy who's never got the chance, that's the guy I'd go with.
Well, it doesn't even matter if they have a chance or not. It's just,
if he doesn't have the damage of all the losses and everything that a Ziggler has, he doesn't have.
Yeah.
He has the size. He has.
Quite frankly, unfortunately, with Ziggler.
He's a better talker than Ziggler.
Unfortunately, with Ziggler, I just see him as Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart level.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just. Nothing wrong with that. It's just him as your upper echelon type guy. But you're right. Wade Barrett, I could see rising a crest to that. Again, if. Done right, and so not at all.
I like the new gimmick and the new look and everything.
Yeah, oh yeah, I like the beard and the Rocky IV beard and such, right? So, no, that's, okay. No,
right age, right size, right charisma, right look, right, everything.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And a pretty good worker.
Yeah. RF Video, Kayfabe Commentaries. Vince Russo rebooks The Invasion.
Fucking A.
This will be excellent.
This will be a live audio commentary?
You know, I've had, and then we've watched it, because it's an autographed one, Jim Cornette booking The Invasion.
That's
so
good.
I wouldn't be opposed to, when I get this, Vince Russo books The Invasion, is to watch Russo book The Invasion, Cornette book The Invasion, and then, let's compare and contrast at that point.
Yeah, more like a show instead of a live audio commentary, because that'd be too much.
Yeah.
The Kevin Nash was too much. This would be almost as long.
This Well, no, but if you watch two of them, it'd be like
long.
6 hours.
Yeah,
there'd be,
as
well,
long.
And.
Or page three of Bret Hart's book.
Not quite as many fucks. And that includes the fact that Jim Cornette's on, too.
Pretty close, but not quite as many.
Well, Russo won't swear
Russo
as much, though, so I mean, right? So.
Yeah. But you're right. That would be great, and then we either do a show or blogs afterwards to compare and contrast.
Something like
something
that way. But
that's,
I think,
cool.
We should definitely watch them both.
It'll be interesting to see how Vince Russo can take something that WWE fucked up and fuck it up even worse.
Well, it's,
but
again...
you have to have the kind of talent of not knowing anything about wrestling and being a complete moron to do that, and he's your fucking man.
And liking swerves.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that will be, that will definitely be interesting. Should talk about SmackDown airs tomorrow. Should talk about the SmackDown spoilers, because this actually seems like a show that I will watch.
Well, this is, what this is, it's not actually SmackDown showing tomorrow night. What they're doing is they're preempting that for something called the Kane and Bryan show. Good job.
Kane and Bryan, good job. Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, the first thing, and we just talked about him, is the first guy that, the first music to open the show is, You Think You Know Me.
Mm-hmm.
You Think You Know Me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's
and
again.
I want to see that, and the crowd was going crazy for Edge.
Yes, and Edge, and it's to promote Haven. It's also on the Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it's on right after SmackDown.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
network. So he's got another role on Haven because he hasn't, of course, signed a WWE deal. He's, I don't know that he's he hasn't re-upped with them.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's. I'm sure he's not, you know, feuding with them or whatnot, but at the point
probably
where they just shoved a but it's also a Haven. I mean, just to shove, you know, they shoved the contract in his face and sign it, and he said, "Well, no."
Yeah,
right. I'd like to counter offer, and they didn't like that, so they pulled it. So now he just kind of does stuff for Tommy Dreamer, and he's got enough money that he's content with himself. But yes,
I'm usually content with myself. Like when I can't get a hold of your mom.
Yeah,
that's when I have to do that.
But Edge has money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need money to take out your mom.
That's true. That's true. You got a nickel?
Once you got for prices.
What? Everybody's got a price.
All right, anyway.
And once you ask that black kid to bounce the basketball, I got embarrassed. But, anyway, so Edge come out. Damian Sandow comes out and talks to Edge, which is what I really want to see. And Daniel Bryan interacting with Edge, I think this will all just be great.
Yeah, for sure.
Then Damian Sandow beats Kane.
Yes.
Which is great.
Because of Edge's distraction.
Bryan's distraction. Daniel Bryan's distraction. Bryan stole the tag titles.
Yes. Well, he's the tag team champion.
Yes, he's the tag team. And then Dr. Shelby was there and told them all to calm down, and then they said to share the titles and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be good. It might be bad. Again, it's hard to tell from a recap, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Kane and Daniel Bryan are good. So this, again, this show with, the like you said, the Kane and Daniel Bryan show, because they're in a million segments, is either going to be very good or very bad.
Yeah.
But Alberto Del Rio... And was complaining to Booker T. Booker said, if he could win tonight in his tag team match, then he could get another shot, I believe his 17th in a row, mm-hmm. against Sheamus. Spoiler alert, he doesn't win.
Does he lose to the boot, though?
No, Ziggler loses to the brogue kick. Mm-hmm. Shocking.
But that's new, though, because we've seen that, like you say, 17 times in a row.
Yes.
Del Rio, but finally we saw Ziggler.
Well, it's about time.
It's about time.
It's, you know, it's about the time he used the pedigree. I mean, the brogue kick.
And Ziggler, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
nice. Layla beat Natty in about a minute.
Okay.
Eve was on commentary.
Uh-huh. I told you.
So,
I'm sick of that.
Yes. Then Cody Rhodes beat...
Why is it they want to put the fucking Divas up? You know, it's like we have to have the Divas and have a storyline, but we don't really want to spend the time to write a promo for them. Throw them on fucking commentary.
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares if they fuck it up? They'll look hot.
Yeah, well, that's... I agree, actually. Really, I wouldn't spend... Like, why would you spend any time? Really, like, why would you... If you were a writer, would you spend any effort whatsoever coming up with anything for the Divas? Go out there, look hot, talk, sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Or look, go out there, look hot, don't talk. You're my ideal woman.
Yeah. Tell me how my ass tastes.
Yeah, surprisingly single.
I know.
Don't get it.
I don't either. I thought it was because you were fat.
Because always fatter.
Remember when you were in the crowd in Impact? Yeah. You weren't that fat.
You're skinny and you're single.
That's true.
Of course, you're ugly and stupid.
Well, ugly. But, Sheamus and Randy Orton, they beat Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio.
Yes.
Wonderful. Then Cody beat Daniel Bryan when Kane's pyro distracted Daniel Bryan. And then Brian went back and was bitching at Kane. And
noticeable that Kane and Daniel Bryan both take it on heels, definite heels.
Yeah.
Full-blown baby faces at this point.
Well,
no,
they really...
no turn. It's just this is what the crowd wants.
Yeah.
What the angle and the personalities and the dynamic of
yeah.
this comedy odd couple demands. And they've gone with it, and it's a good move.
And sometimes
that
those
said,
are...
we do have to point out, while they're all over the show, 2 weeks in a row here on Raw, they've been responsible for when they've been on for ratings tanking.
That is, and it's just in a combination of, and again, but we talk about Raw, too, and I mean, there's so many segments on Raw where ratings tank now
yeah.
that I don't know that that's necessarily their fault.
Yeah.
You know, how much of that is the 3 hours, again,
yeah, exactly.
you know, in that pattern. But Brodus Clay beats Heath Slater due to interference with Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre. So
I don't like the idea of those three, because didn't they all come out during, what was it?
Undertaker's thing. Remember Undertaker Kane at Raw 1000?
Yeah, that's right.
It was Jinder Mahal that led the group of,
like
of jobbers,
group.
Right?
I
don't mind it, yeah.
I like the idea of them as a group.
Yeah.
See if they can be a job squad for the Sentinels. See if they can take off and get a push.
Yeah.
And see if they can go to... start them off as the jobbers who get together and are better as a group than they were individually and start winning and see what happens.
Well, that's the thing. They have to start winning.
Yeah.
And that's what I have my... That's where my skeptic hat comes on, right?
Yeah.
Then Santino beats Antonio Cesaro in a non-title match. Oksana tripped and hurt her leg and distracted Cesaro, and then Santino pinned him. So then Cesaro broke
just
up.
Because he's going to have a feud with Brodus for the title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then Cesaro broke up with Oksana in 5 different languages.
Which I love, because she does nothing for me. I don't think she's that attractive. I just think she's a bad wrestler, a bad actress, just annoying. Doesn't do anything.
It was time. I mean, if to get rid of Oksana, I mean, is okay.
Yeah.
I don't. Again, Oksana.
She's not as good as him. So if she's not as good as him, there's a whole point of having a what do you call it? A
valet.
Valet.
Let me say bitch.
Well, you can have 99 of those. But,
right.
Aces and eights aren't
R1.
R1 or
his biggest one.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that was Linda, but.
Anyways, yeah, I was just going to say, she's not as good as him, so a valet's supposed to give you a rub or give you more. When she's as obviously a level below him, it doesn't do anything for him. Pulls him down, I think.
Yeah, I mean, she was instrumental in bringing him in.
Yeah.
Right? And she had her most heat when she was turning on Teddy there and being that bitch, right?
Yeah.
So that at that point it worked.
Speaking, most heat.
Well, yes, exactly. That's what she did. That's when she had the most heat that she had.
Yeah.
Was then. And so that story was okay.
Hard.
That story was okay, though. She's being a bitch to Teddy, and it's like, you cunt. And then, but then Teddy kind of got written out a little bit and is now kind of there, you know, is nothing. So
yeah.
Then her role was more to
Teddy
piss.
Was more something with Eve, so.
Bringing Antonio in was to piss Teddy off and was more of the thing, and she'd make out in front of Teddy and da-da-da. And then that kind of got pulled away. So Oksana's purpose, really, just run its course.
Yeah.
You don't need her anymore. Antonio would be fine as a single guy, and that's fine, right? So
exactly.
I'm okay with that. Then Kane and Daniel Bryan beat Sandow and Cody Rhodes via disqualification in a lumberjack match.
Mm-hmm. And they started beating up at everybody with chairs, right?
Well, yeah, then they did. They worked together with chairs on both of the guys, and then they worked together and beat up all the lumberjacks with chairs,
yeah.
too. So the key here is that they can work together. They don't really like each other, but they're a great team, and they work together well. And that's kind of the thing, right?
Yeah.
So that story, that really, like you said, is the was the story
when
of SmackDown.
When they break up, I hope they realize they both still, or at least especially Daniel Bryan, still should stay babyface.
That will be interesting how they do
that,
too.
When they do that down the road.
Yeah.
And who knows how many months. I would like to see... Royal Rumble at the earliest, and even then I could go longer. I could go for a while for this.
I could go with a Mania match for them.
I could go with a month before Mania, the very top.
Yeah, leading to Mania. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That gives it the most purpose, right? Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
put on the primetime players then, and have them defend against, because I like them too, and they got charisma and everything. Have them defend against somebody like Rey and Sin Cara at
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Well, no, but Rey and Sin Cara would fight each other at WrestleMania. So I would say then fight. Hopefully, you can if you could build up, say, Kid and Gabriel, or maybe do a scramble multiple man. If there's not enough
like
teams
that
are over, you could have Primo Epico,
you
know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So Kofi and Truth could still be a team too. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you could have the a gauntlet.
I probably keep Sin Cara and Ray together for about a year, personally. But
yeah, but they can't resist wanting to do that fucking record.
Yeah.
Of the mask thing, and that's what tells me. I agree with you, but I just see them having that match at Mania for that gimmick, right? $80 mask. Everybody put on your $80 mask, right?
Yeah.
So. But yeah, right. So that's
about it. We're OUT. We got, you know, anything else left?
We got, is there more stuff to talk
about
there?
I'm fading here. I'm getting kind of tired, so let's
get
out of here.
All right. Well, I think, yeah, that's going to
do
it for another week. Mo's mom.
I did mine. Your mom.
Yeah.
Wait, you already said that about my mom. Hold on 1 second. I have a question for you. This last time we did this show for however long, we've done however many episodes, a billion, something like that.
This is our 3 billionth episode.
Yeah. You're being ridiculous now. But all this time we've been doing this, you keep on saying things like, I've been plugging your mom and being, you know, doing this. Are you telling me you're having sex with my mom? Is that what you're trying to say?
She's having sex with me. I just lie
seriously.
There. Yeah, she does all the work.
Huh.
Yeah. It's really jiggly.
I did not know that.
Huh. It's the Jell-O pudding pop.
Alright. Do the plugs. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Okay. Your mom. You are M-O. Mo _ We Talk on Twitter. Mo, M-O, @ We Talk Podcast. I would be Addie, ADDIE, @ WeTalkWrestling.com, @ WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, on Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes. Find us on iTunes, subscribe to get all the shows, like us, rate us, write a comment. That's apparently good to spread the word on the iTunes, so that would be helpful. For all of us, but I don't think is there anything else that I'm forgetting here. I think that's everything here. So WeTalkWrestling.com. That's the website. So that would be important.
As our fantasy football and
baseball and comics and shit. We talk about a lot of shit. Well, I don't. I talk about wrestling.
You talk about wrestling.
Yeah, I write about wrestling.
We write about wrestling a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's going to do it for yet another week. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
Get ready to hit play.
Good night, folks.
Sinbad, F4W1, how big is Batista's dick?
I don't know.
Didn't see it. Apache?
Maybe you should look, Sinbad.
Sinbad's into that.
Weird.
Sinbad from the board at F4W, how big is Batista's dick?
It's like fucking, like this fucking big. I mean, you know, it's fucking huge. I don't know. How the fuck would I know? Actually, I probably wouldn't know. It must not be huge because there's no stories about it.
Right.
It's not like Virgil sucking his own cock or fucking
Lanny Poffo. Sinbad from the board at F4W, how big is Batista's dick?
10 inch.
Okay. That's the first time we got an answer on that one. Sinbad from the board at F4W, how big is Batista's dick?
I have no idea.
Sinbad from the board wants to know how big is Batista's dick.
What? Don't have a clue.
Sinbad from the board at F4W Online, how big's his dick?
Whose dick?
Batista's? Well, I wouldn't. What's his name? Sinbad?
Yeah.
Well, Sinbad, I wouldn't know how big his dick was. I wasn't a diva. I don't believe that he's gay. I don't really know him that well, and I've never seen him shower.
This guy's on a quest to find the size of his dick.
Sinbad, from the board at F4W, how big is Batista's dick?
I have never even been around Batista, so other than see him at Cyber Sunday, and he shook hands with me and said it was nice to meet me. Other than that, I don't know the fella.
He was dressed, I guess.
Yes, he was just coming
in. It's kind of becoming like playing rock and roll all night at the end of the show.
I don't know what that has to do with anything. I mean, she's asked Missy Hyatt, maybe.